News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, number one of the Triple Dipper, I'm doing this whole segment right now called Libs on Parade. I don't know, I gave it that name because, I mean, I just feel like everywhere we look, they're just marching up and down the streets, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, I say that figuratively, but then sometimes not so figuratively. Well, you know, some of the things that seem to be at the forefront right now are especially things like this constant demand for diversity and inclusion. And then, like I said in my monologue, but yet at the same time, they seek to divide at all times. It's not like they're looking for diversity so they can, you know, all feel like they've got something and that everybody's taken care of. No, they're not. What they really want to do is break society down into little fragmented groups. That's my personal belief, but I think it matches what most conservatives would believe, is that when you look at our society, and when you say things like e pluribus unum means out of many one, and yet we're a nation right now that watches liberals constantly tear us down into little fractions, and then begin to, like I said in my monologue, cobble us together again, like a Frankenstein monster. Well, okay, we'll let the LGBTQ plus 2IA, they can pair up with the Black Lives Matter because they've got some intersectionality. But not with the whites. We can't do it with whites. Oh, and not the cisgenders. And if you're Christian, no, no, no. That means it's on and on and on. Breaking us down into little groups is how they divide us. But then you look at things that they do. Okay, you don't really want to be together. You don't really want inclusion. You want exclusion. Classic example right now. Here's a story. I got this one off of charterschoolcapital.com. Storyline dated July of last year that I'll follow up with one that came out just 2 days ago. An LGBTQ-affirming charter school opens its doors in Alabama. This one flew under my radar. But the Magic City Acceptance Academy is Alabama's first LGBTQ-centered charter school. Did you hear what I said? By the way, keep in mind, a charter school is a public school. This is not a private education. This is just a public school that has a separate charter that allows it to do things that are outside of the norm. So they are not themed on how they're going to educate. They're themed on sexual identity. LGBTQ-centered charter school. It was rejected three times by the Alabama Public Charter School Commission, but the school eventually was approved, and the Magic City Acceptance Academy has now been born out of the need, quote, to provide kids who face bullying, violence, and greater risk of suicide with a safe and inclusive learning environment. How about this? How about, you know, schools are supposed to provide discipline and safe spaces by their very nature. If they're not, then the schools that these kids came from weren't doing their jobs. But now what you really want to do is you don't want inclusivity. You want exclusivity, and you want to set yourselves up as being different. So the Magic City Acceptance Academy, they're firm believers. It says the school has a strong commitment to the social-emotional learning process. That's the SEL counseling that we've talked about on the show a couple of times. I'm reading this straight from the article, by the way. The school leaders want to go beyond academics, fostering learning on self-management and self-awareness and decision-making and relationship skills and social awareness. It's for grades 6 through 12. Yeah. There's that. Tim James, running for governor, will be on the show here later this week. Tim James came out with an ad the other day blasting the fact that the state's budget is going to allow upwards of $2 million of your tax dollars to fund the Magic City Acceptance Academy, which includes in its mission statement the intention of fostering a, quote, brave learning environment and LGBTQ-affirming culture for all. Tim James points out that apparently, just recently, the Magic City Acceptance Academy had a fundraiser. It was a drag queen fundraiser in which teachers in drag performed in order to raise money for the school. And he points out that in addition to that, $2 million of your taxpayer dollars. And he goes on to say, he says, I cannot believe that Governor Ivey and the Alabama legislature have permitted this to happen. Well, I can see having charter schools, obviously, that focus on means by which you will educate. That's what schools are do. That's what the original intent was. When we passed the charter school legislation, when I was there and we passed the charter school legislation, I don't think anyone believed that there was going to be a time when they would look at who the person was and set up a different school. I mean, we're not going to set up black-only charter schools. We're not going to set up, you know, white-only charter schools. We're not going to set up, you know, Latino-only charter schools, but they can set up a LGBTQ charter school and call that okay. Well, I agree with Tim James. He says enough of this foolishness, and I completely agree. And let me tell you some of the things that are happening nationwide, though, that are so disturbing. As libs are on parade, and by the way, this entire section was not meant to be just about the LGBTQ agenda, but right now, that's the main focus, is this constant stretching of the imagination as to what constitutes gender is literally becoming the forefront of the liberal mantra. National Review, in an article dated just today, actually. It's a rather lengthy article, so obviously I won't go through the whole thing, but the title of it is A Mom's Fight to Save Her Daughter from Trans Orthodoxy at School. First of all, why should a mom be having to save her daughter from trans orthodoxy at school? Well, that's a great question. Public school? Yes. Wisconsin. Starts off by saying Teresa, that's the mother's name, actually the name they're going by in the article because she wanted to remain anonymous. Teresa remembers the rage in her daughter's eyes. The 12-year-old insisted she was now a boy, and her new name was Leo. Her mother, not ready to accept this, was a transphobe in her daughter's eyes, and that's why everybody hated her. Teresa's daughter did have a history of anxiety and depression, but this was new. And counselors at the local mental health facility decided to affirm her feelings, and they urged Teresa and her husband to identify their daughter by her new name and pronouns. Teresa, the mother, insists that she was amenable to the idea, but not yet, not until a professional had taken time to work with her daughter and to cause her daughter to go through the hard work of going through therapy and deciding what gender transitioning really means. And she says, she hated me. And Teresa says she worried about the permanent damage that a rash decision could cause. Well, despite their daughter's protest, the article says, Teresa and her husband decided it'd be best that she be identified as a girl and by her real name when she returned to school in mid-January after the Christmas break. They assumed their local suburban Milwaukee school district would support their rights as parents to make this delicate medical decision for their daughter. They were wrong. Leaders of her daughter's middle school told Teresa that while they couldn't change her name officially in the records and her gender, that they would refer to her as a boy and by her chosen name, Leo, because it's what the daughter wanted. Quote, we're an advocate for the child and not for the parent, they told her. They went on to file suit. And there's a wave of these lawsuits nationwide. In her case, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and the Alliance Defending Freedom, a national organization, are fighting the fight on their behalf. And these wave of lawsuits, I mean, it's ridiculous the fact that we have to actually fight this kind of thing. The very idea that a school district would say, this is what we believe is best for your child. That's not your role. Well, it goes on. I mean, these things are happening left and right around us right now. Libs on Parade, that's the name of this entire segment of the Triple Dipper. Here's one from the Postmillennial dated April 3rd. That's, 2 days ago. California's corporate diversity law was ruled unconstitutional. Well, praise God. I mean, the courts got involved in this one. In a decision handed down this past Friday, a judge in Los Angeles, California, struck down the state's corporate diversity law that would have required corporations based out of the progressive Golden State to include racial minorities and members of the LGBT community on their executive boards. In other words, there was a requirement, and it was requirement by percentage. So in other words, if you had a board of a certain size, it was required then to have at least, like for instance, this says, I think it's a one-third, it had to match the communities in which they live. That's what it was. I mean, so basically, it's not like we have board members who are best for, you know, helping the company achieve maximum profits and guiding the company forward in the business climate in which we live. No, they had to have diversity and inclusion, which is nothing to do with capitalism and keeping a company in positive standing on the market. It says that the law would have required corporations to hire members of, quote, underrepresented communities, which they identified as racial minorities and members of LGBTQ. And if a corporation, for instance, had 9 or more officials on the board, it would have been required to have at least 3 members of the underrepresented communities. It was ridiculous. It was telling a private entity who is allowed to be on your board, and you will accept it. Well, here's more. You ready? I know. I'm wearing you out with this. But the libs are on parade, y'all. I'm just saying. They are out there And it's gotten so overt. Here's one for you from justthenews.com. Story dated April 4th, it'd be yesterday. Already stretched thin, border agents must now use politically correct pronouns under a new edict. I mean, I guess you've heard the border is completely out of control, and if Title 42 is lifted, and this is a segment for another day, but if Title 42, which allows for asylum seekers to be rejected on the basis of the COVID pandemic, if Title 42 is lifted, they're expecting upwards of 18,000 arrests a day. Those are the ones we catch. A day. Well, battered by COVID-19, waves of illegal immigrants, and fears of even larger surges ahead, the Customs and Border Protection officers now have a new burden. They must now be sure to use proper pronouns for LGBTQ plus illegal migrants. What in the actual... Okay, the new requirement was included Thursday at the bottom of a much larger announcement, it says, by Homeland Security. Here's the quote. I mean, we're not making this up. This is not an interpolation. Here's the actual quote on the edict that was given out to all CBP employees. Facilitating effective communication at U.S. ports of entry and beyond, CBP has provided a job aid, a memorandum to all staff that will serve as a guide for effective communication with the diverse public CBP and serves, including LGBTQ plus individuals. The guidance includes using gender-neutral language and an individual's self-identified pronouns and name. That's for our Customs and Border Patrol. How about State Department? That just said on this past Thursday, U.S. citizens are now allowed to choose X as their gender rather than male or female. You can be an X. I don't know what an X looks like, but apparently you can be an X. I'm sorry, X Smith. Come on in. How about TSA? Meanwhile, the Transportation Security Administration on Thursday morning announced new standards for screening transgenders and non-binaries and gender non-conforming airline passengers at airport checkpoints. I have no idea what that means. I wish I could tell you. Then again, maybe we don't want to know. All it means is that people that don't know whether they're male, female, or they're gender non-conforming and they don't want to be male or female, or they're transgender, they get some kind of a special search. I don't know what that means, but there it is. Libs are on parade. Copper, take us to a break before my head explodes. All right, folks, I got a little more of this, like right now. Secretary of Defense is testifying before Congress, and he and Congressman Matt Gaetz got into it a moment ago because Matt Gaetz wants to talk about woke military stuff, and the Secretary of Defense says that he rejects that notion. Okay, he can reject it, but I got news. Some of it is there. We'll talk about that when we get back as libs are on parade. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I'm doing a segment right now called Libs on Parade. Now, top of the hour, we're going to take a break from that and talk to Greg Cook, a candidate for the Alabama Supreme Court. So if I don't finish up on the Libs on Parade, we'll finish it up after he's done. But nonetheless, before I do anything else, I see I got a hey, Jeff from Indiana's on line forward. Jeff, how you doing today, bud?
That's King Jeff to you, Phil. I have a new pronoun.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How do you identify today, Jeff?
I identify as your master. So, you know, just call me master or whatever. You know.
Oh, my word.
Duh. Since when did we take people who have, you know, gender dysphoria as a mental illness?
Okay.
And we have to walk around these mental illnesses and act like they're, you know, instead of, you know, it just runs me insane. People need to address it as what it is. It's a mental illness. And I feel sorry for these people that they have this. But, you know, what's somebody come up with a schizophrenic that, you know, do we have to let them do what they want to do or, you know, make certain situations for them, you know?
Or we could have a special we could have a special charter school for schizophrenics. That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be wonderful.
Well, Well, yeah, I think we need several of them, probably. I'd say most of them would have a D behind their name, that'd be my guess.
Oh, yeah, probably. I don't know, Jeff. I mean, I look at this and I think, where does it stop? I mean, I don't know if you heard my monologue earlier, but it's like they constantly preach inclusivity, but what they do is divide everybody. They don't want to be inclusive. They want to be exclusive. And now they're demanding certain recognitions, but they're also demanding they be set aside. And it just boggles the mind.
It's all for attention. It's just like somebody who goes out and wants to look like a unicorn or whatever, you know, it's everything's attention. Look at me, look at me. Well, I don't want to look at you. I don't want to pay attention to you. So,
yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest though. I think it's a little more evil than that. I think it's a divide and conquer. I really think that part of the actual liberal agenda, whether every liberal believes this, but I think the main liberal agenda is to break us down into little fractured groups so that we don't have a chance to unify and become stronger for being a group. They want little fractured pieces.
They've pretty much fractured the whole society, I believe.
Well, they're trying to, but, you've heard me say it. Charlene, my wife, always says there's a whole lot more of us than there are of them, and that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Well, we don't squeak enough then, because the squeaky wheels always get the grease, but we're just not squeaking enough, man. we need to squeak.
There's some greasy liberals out there. I know that.
That's right.
All right, Jeff. You be safe on the road, brother. Appreciate you. All right, Jeff from Indiana, one of our frequent flyers here, and we appreciate him. He runs the route back and forth here constantly and listens to the show. And he's right, that the constant thing that we see is that the liberals are determined to become – if you look at the polls, there's a whole lot more of us than there are of them. You know, recent surveys show that the transgender community in this nation represents less than 1%. And yet how are we – restructuring all that we do right now around all of this? Well, so real quickly, if I can have a chance to get to it here, Biden's woke agenda, foxnews.com, story out of February. I think I covered this once before, but it fit into today's segment, so I went and re-grabbed it. U.S. Department of Defense spent nearly 6 million man hours implementing President Biden's leftist social agenda across the military, Republicans say. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley responded to Senator – this came from Milley's office – to Senator James Inhofe's request for data on the total number of man hours and money the DOD had spent on new trainings regarding climate change, extremism, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Milley's response revealed that more than 5.3 million man hours in the military and over $500,000 was spent on extremism stand-downs or discussions about extremism in the ranks. That's 2 hours per service member in a total 2.46 million members. The letter also reveals that 530,000 man hours and nearly $500,000 was spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion training, and more than 1,000 hours and $5,000 spent on coordinating the DOD's climate adaptation plan. Don't tell me woke doesn't exist in our military. There's a lot of good folks in uniform still. A lot, the vast majority. I was on a military post the other day watching guys rucking on their own time because they're hardcore and they'll do what's necessary. But our leadership has got to quit watering down the service with this kind of agenda. All right, folks, Libs on Parade. Coming up next, Greg Cook, who's running for the Alabama Supreme Court, will be calling in. We'll talk to him, see who he is. Be right back.